ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're going to cover a particular section in chapter 2, which is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. The first part, basically verses 11 through 30, where the subject matter was Sankhya, an analytical study of the first lesson of transcendental knowledge, namely, the difference between the soul and the body, the difference between matter and spirit, or the difference between the temporary energy and the eternal energy. Now in verses 31 through 38, Krishna will pick up a different topic, which is called Kshatriya Dharma. Dharma means the prescribed duty that one must do, or else there will be sinful reactions for non-performance. Kshatriya is one of the four varnas in Vedic society. Everyone has one of four varnas and one of four ashrams. The varna is your social position. And according to Bhagavad Gita, that social position is not dictated by the family you are born in, but it is dictated by your natural qualities, proclivities, or nature that you demonstrate. The caste system that has been prevalent in India for many years is wrong and should be abolished, because the caste system is not based on one's qualification, but it's simply based on what family you are born in. But the caste system that is outlined by Krishna is based on your natural or your nature. For instance, let's look at this picture here of Lord Narsinghadev. Now, the person being killed on the lap of Lord Narsinghadev was the son of a Brahmin, but he did not act as a Brahmin. He acted as the first ideal demon, which all subsequent demons, if they want to be a good demon, should learn from Hiranyakashipu, because he did it the best. And then we have the young boy Prahlad, the son of the demon, but he wasn't a demon. In fact, he was the greatest devotee. So it's not based on the family you're born in or the community you're born in. Lord Chaitanya, whose appearance day we'll be celebrating on March 7th, taught this principle in his movement. For instance, when Lord Chaitanya selected the Acharya for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he picked a Muslim, not even a Hindu, what to speak of Brahmin. He picked a Muslim to be the teacher of the holy name. Na, 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 na. And Lord Chaitanya's two principal disciples were originally Brahmins, but because they accepted ministerial posts in the Muslim government, the Brahmin community excommunicated them, kicked them out, ostracized them. They had even taken Muslim names. These two, Rupa and Sanatan, as his primary disciples. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is not based on any material designation. Lord Chaitanya's movement is based on spiritual qualities. And Krishna himself says the same thing. What are your natural qualities by which you act? That determines whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. It's not difficult to understand. Say, for instance, myself, my father is an auto mechanic. If we were following the caste system, I should be a car mechanic. I don't know the first thing about fixing a car, other than put the key in. I know nothing. Neither I have any interest. So it has nothing to do with what family you're born in. The real question is, what do you know? How do you act? Say, your father is a great cardiologist. Now, you may be the son of the cardiologist, but unless you have the credentials, I'm not going to you for open heart surgery. You have to be able to do the work. So that is the real criteria. Can you do the work of a Brahmin, the work of a Kshatriya, the work of a Vaishya, and the work of a Sudra? So Kshatriya was the administrative class in Vedic culture. They were the administrators, politicians, rulers. Arjuna belonged by qualification to that class. Now let's recall what we learned in chapter 1 and in the first 10 verses of chapter 2. The Bhagavad Gita opens with the battle scene, day 1. Arjuna asks his chariot driver, in this instance Krishna, to take his chariot because Arjuna wants to see who he has to fight. When Arjuna sees who he has to fight, his fathers, brothers, uncles, grandfathers, his own military guru, when Arjuna sees that he has to kill all these people that he grew up with, because by this time Arjuna is over 120 years old, Arjuna gets cold feet. He gives many arguments, very good arguments, seemingly noble arguments. And chapter 1 shows us Arjuna dropping his bow and telling Krishna, I shall not fight. And it continues in chapter 2. Arjuna's lamenting, arguing from so many different angles of vision why he doesn't think it's a good idea to fight this war. A little late in the game for this, wouldn't you say? But we learned in chapter 2 the turning point of Bhagavad Gita. Without this turning point, there's no Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, Shishyaste ham shadimang tvang prapanam. Arjuna turns to his friend, Krishna, and says, I'm confused. I don't know what I should do right now at this crucial moment. But I want us to stop being friends. I want you to act as my spiritual advisor. We call that guru. I want you to instruct me. I want you to tell me for certain what is best, because I don't know. Krishna immediately changes the position. Up to this point, they're friends. They treat each other as equals. But when Arjuna says this, Krishna immediately says, okay. So Krishna is the original don't ask, don't tell person. But as soon as Arjuna says these words to Krishna, Krishna says, oh. And that is when Bhagavad Gita begins. And what was the first lesson? You're not that body. And you're not your mind. So what you see in the mirror ain't you. Thank God. Unless you think you're Brad Pitt or something. But we are not what we see in the mirror. So now, in 20 verses, lesson 1 of Bhagavad Gita, you're not the body, you're spirit soul. You're not temporary like your body, you're eternal. You're not matter, you're spirit. Now, in 8 verses, Krishna will explain Kshatriya Dharma. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, Gauranga. So we're going to do the translations and the Sanskrit for these 8 verses. So turn to chapter 2, verse 31. We'll start there. Chapter 2, verse 31. I am dedicating tonight's class to a very good friend of mine named Anu. This class is dedicated to my good friend Anu. Are we ready? Let us chant the verse, the Sanskrit, together. Swadharmam api cha veksha navikam pitum arhasi dharmyadhi yudach trayonyat. Kshatriyasya navidyate. We can do the translation together. Considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. So, Krishna, after explaining Sankhya, the difference between matter and spirit, and the last thing Krishna said in the previous section was, therefore, fight. One of my favorite themes of Bhagavad Gita. Some so-called Mahatma said, Bhagavad Gita teaches nonviolence. Really? What Bhagavad Gita was he reading? Because chapter after chapter, Krishna says, violence, kill, fight. The previous, read verse number 30. Read the translation to number 30. Just make sure I'm not kidding you. What does number 30 say? Is there a word fight in there? No fight in verse 30? You sure? Say that again. Read it out loud. Yeah? All right, my mistake. But don't worry, he says it enough in this chapter to fight. Don't worry. Okay, my mistake. Still, Bhagavad Gita is not nonviolence. So let's go again. Okay, so here today in this first verse, considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, There is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. That's the key. The demons don't fight on the basis of religious principles. They fight on the basis of greed, lust, anger, and personal aggrandizement. But a real kshatriya fights on religious principles. And therefore, Krishna is saying, no hesitation. Let's do number 32. Yadrich jaya cho papanang svargadwaram apavritam sukina kshatriya parata labante yuddham idrisham. O Partha. So that's another name for Arjuna, which is addressing him by his lineage from his mother's side. Kunti is Krishna's aunt. She's the sister of one of Krishna's fathers, Vasudev. And she is a great advanced devotee. Her name is Kunti or Pritha. So, she is so elevated, an entire chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we study her prayers. That's how exalted is Kunti. So she was great, chaste, devoted mother and devotee. So many times Arjuna is like another name for Arjuna, Kaunteya, son of Kunti. Here, Partha. Happy are the kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. Notice, come unsought. Not that Arjuna is bellicose or unnecessarily aggressive, but although peace was attempted, a reconciliation was attempted more than once, when all else failed, then there was no other recourse. Fight. So it's not that Arjuna wanted this, but it has come. Notice, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets, because a kshatriya who fights on religious principles, two outcomes. He wins, he rules the earth or the kingdom. He dies, he goes to heaven. All right, let's go on. Text number 33. Ata chetvam imang dharmyang sangramang na karishyasi tatak svadharmam kirting cha hitva papam avapsyasi. If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. So, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Arjuna was saying to Krishna that from his perspective, if he fights the war, he's going to incur sin. That's what he was thinking. Krishna is saying just the opposite. By not fighting, you're going to incur sin. Which teaches us a valuable lesson. We cannot judge right or wrong about how we feel. That is not how we judge right or wrong. I may feel something is right. I may feel something is wrong. But that is not the criteria. The criteria is, what does the law say? Then you know what is right or wrong. So the law here is the religious codes, the scriptures, the Vedas. That is what determines what is right or wrong. And Krishna, who is the original source of all religious principles. All religious principles exist only because Krishna indicates them. Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. The dispenser of law, Yamaraj, says that real religious duties is what God says. That's what is religion. What does God say? Not what I say or man says. What does God say? That's religion. Religion is simply the word of God. So Krishna is saying, and he should know, that Arjuna, you thought by fighting you will incur sin. My opinion is just the opposite. Neglecting your duties. That is, again, that word dharma, your duty. In Vedic civilization, everyone had a duty. There were no exceptions. Women had duties. Men had duties. Children have duties. When I preach so many times, I preach to children and I tell them, do you know what your duty is? Obey your parents. And then the parents love me. Oh, we like this Nirantara. He is preaching the right thing. But it's true. It is true. Even Krishna, at the end of Bhagavad Gita in chapter 17, says that children should worship superiors. And Prabhupada puts as an explanation, like the father and mother. So how can you worship someone if you don't obey them? Obedience is the first sign of love. I cannot say that I love God or love anyone if I'm not obedient. And I've just gotten a message here that in text number 18, I thought it was text 30, but in text number 18, why don't you hold your place there and go to verse number 18, just so that you know I'm not... Chapter 2. Go to text number 18, and you will see the translation. The material body of the indestructible, immeasurable, an eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore, what's the word? Ah! I was just off by about 12 verses. But at least we know it's there. Thank you. Thank you, Secretary. Very good. All right. You getting a kick out of that one? All right. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. And then the next thing, you will lose your reputation as a fighter. A kshatriya, one of the most important things for a kshatriya is that the kshatriya leaves behind him a great legacy, a great name. In that sense, a powerful king or a kshatriya lives forever because of the great deeds and spotless name and fame. So Krishna is trying to induce Arjuna, getting him to think, hey, you're a kshatriya. If you don't fight this, all this name that you have built up for so many years, it's going to be gone. Krishna will continue. Let's go now to text number 34. Akirtang chapi bhutani katayishyanti te vyayam sambhavitasya chakirtir maranad atirichyate. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Because a real kshatriya would not come back from the battle. A real kshatriya fights to the finish. The real kshatriya will either conquer or give up life, but not come home defeated. There are examples of queens chastising or refusing to admit their kingly husband if he came back defeated, because the code was such that you either are victorious or you don't come back. You die in the battle. So the kshatriyas, they lived by a certain code. So somebody who's a kshatriya, they get lots of praise, accolades for their heroic deeds. Again, name and fame. But if such a person is dishonored, that's worse than death. All right, text number 35. Bhayad ranad uparatang mangsyante twang maharata yeshang twatwang bahumato bhutva yasyasi lagavam. The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Yes, a kshatriya has to be fearless. That is one of the qualities of a kshatriya, fearless. Text 36. Avachya varang shavahun vadishyanti tavahita nindantastavasam yartang tato tukatarang nukim. Your enemies will describe you in many unkind words and scorn your ability. What could be more painful for you? So, if Arjuna doesn't fight, he's going to get it from both sides. From those who are his fans, you could say, right? And then what to speak of his enemies. So either way he looks, it's not good, it's bad. Text 37. Hato va prapsyasi svargang jitva va bhokshyase mahin tasmat utishta konteya yudhaya kritanishchaya. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and... There you go. Where is the nonviolence? I don't know. So, here, this verse is the win-win proposition by Krishna. Right? He fights, he dies, hey, you're going to heaven. Pretty good. Normally people have to do so much austerities, vows, sacrifices to get to heaven. There is no stairway to heaven. That's only a silly song. No, you have to work for that. And it's not easy. Or, in the case of a kshatriya, if you're fighting on religious principles, you die. The doors are open. Come to heaven. If he wins, he rules. It's win-win. That's what Krishna's trying to get Arjuna to see. What is this? Lamenting. Arjuna, snap out of it. This is your moment. Win, win, either way. Therefore, he says, get up, fight. Text 38. Sukaduke same kritva labha labhau jaya jayo tato yudhaya yudhyasva naivam papam avapsyasi. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat. And by so doing, you shall never incur sin. So this is how a kshatriya can exist. You fight simply for the sake of fighting. You don't worry about victory or defeat, happiness, distress, loss or gain. That is going to change you. You fight simply to give the good fight. And this is also applicable to us, that in the same way, because I mentioned before, we all have our prescribed duties. You can't avoid it. If you're a mother, you've got duties to do. If you're a husband or a father, you've got duties. You live in the ashram, right? So living in the ashram was like vacation. You can just do whatever you want all the time. What happens from 4 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night? You have duties, don't you? Your first duty, get to Mangal Arti. Correct? If you're not there in Mangal Arti, you miss one or two days, you get called into the office. Am I right? Savas still does it like that. No? You miss? Yeah. Huh? Oh, something. Okay. Well, let me put it to this way. If you're slack in the morning program too long, you get a pink slip. So, right? And then, after breakfast, don't you have duties to perform? Yes? Yes. It's not that you can just come and go as you please. No. Right? That's the meaning of living in an ashram. Or, I assume you have jobs. Right? Yes. Everybody's got duties. I worked a regular job for many years. As soon as you get that regular job, hey, gotta produce. You have duties to perform. So this is interesting. This is the mode of goodness. We'll see this same concept later on throughout Bhagavad Gita. The mode of goodness is, this is my duty. I simply do what I'm supposed to do, not how I feel. I don't feel like doing my duty. A mother can't think like that. When the child needs food, when the child is sick, the mother can't say, I don't feel like it. Doesn't work that way, right, mothers? No, doesn't work. Doesn't work that way. Whether you feel like it or not, that child is taken care of. You may be sick, lying in bed, but when that child is crying, oh, somehow or other you take care of business. So, the mode of goodness is not, it's not about how I feel. It's not about, just like, again, my favorite example, the mother. The mother is not taking care of the child thinking, gee, if I take care of this child, what's this child going to do for me later? No, the mother's not thinking like that. The mother is taking care of the child with no consideration of what the child is going to do. No. Victory or defeat. So in all of our endeavors, we all have different endeavors. So we're all trying to accomplish something. So sometimes You're going to be successful, and sometimes you're not. You do book distribution? You do book distribution? Yeah, but you do. So everybody you approach takes a book? No, not everyone. And there will be days, trust me, there will be days when nobody will take a book. Ask Bhrigupati, he'll tell you. I have talked to many big book distributors. Some days they go out, they don't have enough books to give out. They're just flying. The next day they go out, say the same lines, have the same cologne, everything's the same, and nobody will take a book. And you feel like... So you have to be in the mode of goodness. No matter what the result, I'm going to continue to do my duty with the same amount of enthusiasm, with the same amount of determination. That is what Krishna wants to see. The results are ultimately up to Krishna. Krishna will specifically take away the results just to see. Oh, you love me when things are going good, huh? You like doing this service when everything is going good? Now let's see how long you last when I take away all the results. That's when you find out what kind of devotee you are. Hey, when everything is going great, yeah, I love being a devotee. Man, it's fun. Right? But then, the next day, you try to do your specific duty, and it's not happening. For instance, when I first joined the temple in 1973, after a few days, they sent me out on the kirtan party on 5th Avenue or 47th Street in New York. So the kirtan party, we were out there chanting and dancing. And after about a half an hour, I was thinking, gee, I'm getting really tired. And I was looking at the other devotees. How come they're not getting tired? And the kirtan is still going on, and we're out there for hours on end, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't make it as a karmi. I can't make it as a devotee. What good am I? I was so tired, I was just about to give up and quit. I was thinking, I can't do this Hare Krishna stuff. It's too hard. What is this? I can't do this. And I was thinking, I've got to go home. Oh, man. And then just as I was about to give up, all of a sudden I got this surge of energy. And I was like, it was like Krishna saying, okay, here you go. I'll give you a little boost. So that was very instructive. That Krishna will do that. He'll take you to the brink, but you have to hang on. You have to keep trying. That's the idea. Krishna consciousness means just try. Just try. As Krishna will say in the beginning of chapter 7, just try to hear. Just try to understand. For instance, you may have this experience. You get up in the morning, all right, now it's time to chant japa. You may not feel like chanting japa, but the idea is you just try. And sometimes you're chanting japa and you're having a hard time concentrating, you're having a hard time hearing, you just try. That is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Just try. As long as you're trying, you've got a chance. As long as you continue to try. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, do we have any questions on today's subject matter? Yes. What God says. Yes. Not how we feel. No. Good question. Very good. So for the people on the internet, Haribol internet devotees, everybody say Haribol. So his question was that I made the statement that religion means the word of God, and there are so many religions claiming that they have the word of God, and it may appear that God in one book contradicts what he says in another book. Very good question. So here's how you can settle this up. There are so many car dealerships, correct? And each car dealership, when they see you coming, their eyes, the salesman, his eyes, oh, a sucker. Come. This car is for you. It's got your name on it, buddy. So you go to one car dealership, he's going to tell you, this is your car. All right, you go to the next car dealership. Oh, that guy, he don't know what he's talking. Buddy, this is your... Every car dealership is going to tell you their car is the best car. If they don't do that, he'll get fired as a salesman. Right? He has to say that, yes or no? Every religion says,
we're the only way.
Buddhist religion says we're the only way. The Muslims say we're the only way. Christians say we're the only way. Krishna says the same thing. So now I have to be a little smart. I have to do my homework. Just like if I was buying a car, I have to find out for me what is the best car. Don't buy a lemon. So don't belong to a lemon religion. Find that religion which has the best knowledge, most complete knowledge, most scientific process. Right? Now let's just, you asked the right person. Okay? Bible is one book. Yes? Quran, one book. Besides Bhagavad Gita, how many volumes in Srimad Bhagavatam? 18 books the size of the Bible. Seems like somebody's got a lot more information about God, doesn't it? Right? And when I read, for me, when I read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, I get a whole lot of information that I haven't found anywhere else. So for me, there is no question. Now, I was raised on the Bible, correct? Okay, I was raised. And, because I used to get this question all the time. How can you join this Hare Krishna Hindu movement? You were raised Catholic. And I say, no. Jesus himself said to his apostles, I have many things to tell you, but your ears cannot bear to hear. That's this. This is what Jesus couldn't explain to his apostles. They were not ready. What to speak of in the Bible? There's not a whole lot of information about God. Very little. When you come to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, You know what God looks like. He's a musician. That sealed the deal for me. We know his family. We know his neighborhood. We know what he likes to eat. And he likes to... We know so much about God. All right. Say that doesn't convince somebody. All right? We've got something. It's called prashadam. That was actually the only thing I needed to know. Prashadam, that's it. This religion, I can sing. They're into music. And they got good food. All right. I'm not going to worry about anything else. Right? Does it look like I've starved? Huh? So if you're asking me, there's no doubt in my mind. Best philosophy, best friendship. I'm studying Bhagavad Gita. I study Prabhupada's books every day. Fantastic. You have a question, sir? Tell them to keep eating. That's all. More questions. No more questions? If there's no more questions, then we chant. Yes, sir. A Prabhupada story. Everybody loves Prabhupada stories. Okay. So, a Prabhupada story. In other words, for me, the one that I was there. All right. So, I have a few, not a whole lot. But probably my favorite. Well, here's one of my favorite Prabhupada stories. I was a brahmachari. It was 1975, right around this time of the year, late February, early March. I was on traveling Sankirtan, and we wound up in Atlanta. And when we wound up in Atlanta, Prabhupada also arrived. It was, I don't know if it was, anyway, we got to Atlanta. We checked into the Atlanta temple, and Prabhupada came the next day. So, when Prabhupada arrived, he arrived like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and the temple room was full, 99% brahmacharis, book distributors. So, the temple was situated in such a way, Prabhupada's vyasasan was in the back of the temple facing the altar, and the main deity was Gornitai. So Prabhupada sat down to a temple room full of brahmacharis, and he started to speak, and he was looking at the deity, and he was quoting a song by Lotan Das Thakur, Parama Karuna Pahundvijana, Nitai Gora Chandra. So Prabhupada was explaining that these two lords, Nityananda and Gora Chandra, they're extremely merciful. And Prabhupada started to cry. And the whole temple room just went silent. Nobody knew what to do. Because Prabhupada was crying out of ecstasy. And he was trying to talk, but he couldn't. He was just emotional. Being in front of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, he's thinking how merciful, and he's seeing all these young American brahmachari book distributors. So Prabhupada excuses himself because he tries to talk, but he can't. He says, please excuse me, and Prabhupada goes to his room. So, we get word from Prabhupada's secretaries that there will be a class in the evening, and everyone should learn the song, Parama Karuna. So in the evening, Prabhupada teaches us the song, Parama Karuna Pahundvi Jana Nithai Gora Chandra. So Prabhupada would sing and all the devotees would respond. And they had a big tape recorder, and so they were recording Prabhupada. So after the whole song, Prabhupada requested somebody. There was somebody in the temple room who had a mridanga. So they played back the tape of the recording the devotees and Prabhupada just made, live recording. And they put a microphone so it would go through the loudspeakers. So as the tape is playing back, Prabhupada is playing mridanga. And everybody is just going mad with ecstasy seeing Prabhupada play. Because Prabhupada didn't do that in public very often. What to speak of, he cried. These are rare moments. So that was very, very special. And as you can see, because this particular recording, this is not available. The tune I just sang is exactly how I remember from 1975. Parama Karuna. It goes like this. Prabhupada played it. First he played with kartals. 1-2 beat. If you like. Parama Karuna. Pahundvi jana nithai gora chandra parama karuna pahundvi jana nithai gora chandra sabavata sarashiramani kevalananda Kanda Sabhavata Sarashiramani Kevalananda Kanda. So that's the tune. But unfortunately, there's no copy. But I can, that was 1975, but I can still remember, if I close my eyes, I can still remember Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan, first playing and singing with kartals, then playing mridanga. Then, I don't know what day of the week that was, but then a few days later was the Sunday feast. So again, the temple room was packed, and I'm sitting by the altar, Prabhupada's Vyasasan. Prabhupada gives the Sunday feast lecture. And then he says, are there any questions? So there's one question here. Somebody asked Prabhupada, what do you think of Mare Baba? And Prabhupada says, oh, there are so many bogus babas. And other questions, somebody asked Prabhupada, what was the eighth avatar? And Krishna said, Prabhupada said, I think it is Kalki. He comes to kill the demons. And all the devotees went. So I was thinking, this is my chance. I'm going to ask a question. So I raised my hand. And Prabhupada's secretary was Tamal Krishna Goswami. So I say in the class, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Now everybody, I'm sure everybody was thinking, Prabhupada's going to say distribute books. Because at that time in ISKCON, that was all you heard. Every class, 24/7, distribute books. That was the only class. No matter what the Bhagavatam verse was, the conclusion was, you got to go out and distribute books. So we were sure, everybody was sure, oh, he's going to, because forget, the temple room was full of these brahmacharis from the Radha Damodar, right? And that's all they're doing. So they're thinking, yeah, Prabhupada's going to tell us. So, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Prabhupada goes, hmm? So Tamal Krishna Goswami repeats the question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? So Prabhupada closes his eyes, tilts his head, and says, when you love Krishna. It was like, what? Did I just hear what he said? What? He said, when you love Krishna. So I take that as my instruction from my spiritual master. That what will please Srila Prabhupada is when I love Krishna. So, how do we love Krishna? We love Krishna by becoming Krishna conscious. Specifically, we learn from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, love of Krishna is achieved when we chant the holy name. So let us chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Gopalji, here is your cable.